This is Audible.
Recorded Books and RB Digital present Land of Wolves by Craig Johnson. Narrated by George Guidel. From a Basque proverb. Ez azaganen lo aldea otso lo aldea da. A land of strangers is a land of wolves. From Virgil. The flocks fear the wolf, the crops, the storm, and the trees, the wind. Chapter 1. It's hard to think of a place in Wyoming where the wind doesn't reign supreme, where the sovereignty of sound doesn't break through the parks of the bighorns with a hoarse-throated howl. I sometimes wonder if the trees miss the wind in the infrequent moments when it dies down, when the air is still and the skies are a threadbare blue, thin and stretching above the mountains. Needled courtesans, the lodgepole pines, Douglas firs, and Engelmann spruce stand at the edge of the great park like wallflowers, awaiting the beseeching hand of the wind to invite them to the dance floor. And I can't help but wonder that when the sway passes and the trees are still, do they pine for that wind? Do they grieve?
It's a dead sheep.
What?
It's a dead sheep, in case you were wondering.
Yep, it is. She stopped eating her breakfast power bar and looked straight at me.
Then why have you been staring at her for the last 5 minutes?
I swallowed and formed a few words, but they wouldn't come out. It was like that lately, almost as if some inhibitor was kicking in every time I tried to say something. She studied me for a moment more, and then her eyes returned to the carcass.
Is it me? Or does it seem like we've done this before?
Two men were examining the demised and doing their best to ignore us. I guess we didn't do a good enough job on the other sheep-asides. She continued chewing.
Why is that?
Because there's another dead sheep.
There's always another dead sheep. It's what sheep do, they die.
Victoria Moretti glanced around at the snow-spotted park and the breathtaking beauty of the Bighorn Mountain Range, bold faces of the granite high country rising like magnificent stockades.
Boy, we're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I sighed and girded up some more words. Nice, isn't it? I passed her the cup from my battered thermos that was covered in stickers. One of its red drinking fuel. She handed me the remains of her bar, and I watched as she took a sip of the coffee.
Remind me again why we're here.
I took a bite. Public relations.
Since when does the Absaroka County Sheriff's Department have to worry about public relations?
When has the Absaroka County Sheriff or any other sheriff not had to worry about public relationships? Or more important, dealings within the law enforcement community? I took another bite and pointed at the two men, a.k.a. the Absaroka County Brand Inspector and the National Forest Service.
You just don't want to be babysat at the office.
I watched the random breeze push the treetops, dusting the frosted grass with a little fresh snow from the pine needles. There's that. I undid the top of the thermos again and took my chrome cup back to refill it. You mind telling me what that's all about?
What?
Why, everyone is treating me like a Fabergé egg.
After Mexico, all parties have decided that you need a little more adult supervision.
I nodded and handed her the last bite. Sancho follows me to the bathroom. At the mention of our Basque deputy, Santiago Cesar Vitoria, Vic smiled.
He's taking his orders very seriously.
I started to lift the cup to my lips, then stopped. Whose orders?
I am not at liberty to say at this time.
My daughter.
Pretty much.
I sipped my coffee, a slight huff building. If she's so worried about me, why doesn't she come up here and see about me for herself?
Because she has a life and a career in Cheyenne?
She studied the side of my face.
She's been through a lot, Walt.
I nodded. Yep.
What, you're lonely? I can get Sancho to go in the bathroom with you.
Thanks, but no thanks. I took a deep breath, feeling the stitch in my side.
I know she's been through a lot, and I just think we need to talk about it. So call her. I hate phones. Go to Cheyenne. I'm not particularly fond of Cheyenne either. Besides, after the amount of time I've been gone from the county, I think I need to be around here. I turned to look at her just as the two men approached. Well, Don Butler, who had been the county brand inspector for years, gave me an unsettled look. Difficult to say on a three-day-old kill. Could be a wolf. We all turned to look at Chuck Coon. Well, it could be. Vic made a face. I thought you rabbit rangers say there aren't any wolves in the Bighorns. Butler pushed his stained hat back and scrubbed a hand over the lines on his face. Of course there aren't, which is why we're collecting DNA. Coon sighed. Anyway, there aren't supposed to be. Are you saying the wolves aren't cooperating? Like any other adolescent, they have a tendency to wander. Butler glanced back at the remains. If it is a wolf, it's a young one, I'd imagine. I'm betting a 2-year-old. Chuck leaned against the tailgate of my truck, the official mantra spilling from his lips like a teletype machine. It will be dealt with swiftly. You going to kill it? Vic shook her head. Doesn't the Fed just pay for the sheep? Yeah, but once they get a taste for mutton, they usually keep hitting the herd and it becomes a problem. Besides, it's a predator zone, so they're not supposed to be here. She glanced at me. What's a predator zone? Neither protected nor trophy. They are considered to be in an agricultural area and a nuisance or predator, and you're allowed to shoot them at any time, like coyotes. She looked back at the ranger. They were here before we were. I changed the subject. More important, who's heard? Don cocked his head with a grim look. Echipare. Aberana Echipare. Vic looked confused. Son of Beltran Echipare, the man who blew Lucian's leg off. The sheep rancher's father had been the Basque bootlegger back in the late '40s, who had relieved my predecessor of an appendage. Her tarnished gold eyes sparkled the way they always did at the mention of mayhem. Oh, shit, this is getting interesting. I looked past the two men at the 100 or so sheep grazing a good 50 yards away. So I don't suppose the old man is up here? Not that we've seen. How about the herder? Haven't seen him either. Well, who called in the sheep? Coon thumbed his chest. I did. Now first you need to find the herder and talk with him. Then we can go have a little chat with Aberani and hope we don't get shot. I watched as Coon, in search of a needle, looked behind him at the expanse of Haystack Mountains. I turned and looked at Butler. Any idea what Echipare's permits for grazing are? Disgruntled, Don started off toward his truck. Got him on my computer. I threw out the rest of my coffee and, slowly sliding off the tailgate, limped after him with Vic and Chuck in tow. Coon pulled up beside me. How you doing, Walt? Good. A little stiff, but I'm fine. That sounded like some pretty hairy stuff down there in Mexico. I nodded. Sure you okay? Yep. He continued talking as I opened the passenger side door. You lost a lot of weight. I guess you can count that as a positive. The brand inspector had a nice truck with carpet, a leather interior, and all the electronic gizmos, including a swinging table that held a laptop computer. Geez, Don, the Cattlemen's Association is making way too much money. He grumbled as he climbed onto the seat. I practically live in the thing. After tapping a few keys, he stared at the screen. Echipare, all right. One section. Looks like it's mostly west of here. He peered through his windshield. Ah, those sheep scattered this far east and nobody's checking on them. Studying the large meadow, my eyes followed his. Maybe the wolf spooked them? Don pulled the brim of his hat back down, low over his eyes, still seemingly puzzled. Maybe, but hell, we've been here for an hour, and you'd think somebody would have shown up. I turned, looking at the expanse. How big would you say this park is? At least a couple square miles. Vic studied the large open space. Why do they call them parks? Bastardization of the French term that the trappers used when they first came to this part of the country. I sighed, seeing the lunch I'd planned at the Busy Bee Cafe going up in grilled smoke. All right, we can split it up. You take the right,
Don, Chuck, you take the middle, and Vic will work the tree line to the left. I don't think there's much of a chance that he'd set up camp out in the middle, but you never know. I glanced back at Butler. Does the herder have a name? Miguel Hernandez. Chilean? Yeah. Walking back to the bullet, I called over my shoulder. Our standard frequency. Climbing in, I was met with a copious fog of dog breath as he hung his bucket head over the seat and whined. I know you want to get up, but you can't. Like the butler, they might think you did it. Vic pulled the passenger door closed behind her. Chile? Glancing around at all the remaining April snow, I slipped the truck into four-wheel drive. H-2A, temporary agricultural work program that allows companies to hire foreigners if no Americans want the jobs. She leaned forward, scanning the area ahead of us. The scenery's pretty great, but I can't imagine the amenities are plentiful. If we find Miguel's campito, you'll see. They stay up here? Following the slope of the meadow, I drove slowly, keeping my eyes on the tree line. You've seen the sheep wagons at the Basque parade. They generally live in those. So this guy, Echeparri, is Basque, and he hires some guy from Chile?
Yep.
Why not another Basque? The economy is good there, and nobody wants the jobs. Most of the herders you're going to see out here these days are South American, borregueros they call themselves. What do they get paid? About $650 a month. Jesus, I'd run off too. Hoping to spot something, I kept peering into the dense forest as we drove. Tough to eat scenery. It's lonely work. You mean they just leave them here? There's usually a camp tender who comes up with supplies and might spell them out for a day or two, but it's rough with no other human interaction. Some never learn English. Do they have dogs? Usually, why? He pointed. Because there's one. I turned to see a border collie at the precipice of a ridge ahead. Slowing to a stop, we waited a moment, but then the dog disappeared. Damn. Gunning the engine, I turned the wheel and drove to the spot on the ridge where the dog had been. Do you see anything? Vic sat up in her seat and turned around to the right and back toward me, finally looking past me to a spot on my left. There! I turned and could see the dog hightailing it into the forest. So I spun the wheel again and then drove to the edge of it and parked. Vic held her hand on the rear door. You want dog out? No. He looked at me, deeply hurt. Sorry, but if you run off chasing some strange dog, I'll never find you. I met my undersheriff at the front of the truck and peered into the mist where the sun was attempting to melt the snow. The meadow behind us resembled an impressionist painting, evaporating before our eyes. See you? No. Leaning against the grill guard and staring at the snow patch in front of us, I shook my head, raised a hand, and motioned to the right. Looks like he's headed that way. Letting Vic break ground, I followed, dodging between the trees and wishing the pain in my side would let up. After getting back from Mexico, Docs Bloomfield and Nickerson had given me the once-over and explained that the doctors in Juarez had actually done a pretty good job of patching up my stomach, spleen, liver, and part of a lung. But I still felt like hell. They'd warned me that I needed more bed rest, but I'd finished rereading all four volumes of A Dance to the Music of Time, and I was going stir-crazy. They'd informed me that with deep tissue, solid organ damage, the repair was really up to the organ itself, and that if I wasn't careful, I was courting disaster, or at least asking it out on a first date.
You all right?
I looked at Vic, who was standing on the trail still ahead of me. I placed a hand on a nearby lodgepole pine.
Yep, just a little winded.
She approached.
Go back to the truck.
No.
Let me rephrase. Go back to the truck or I'll shoot you.
I shook my head.
No, you won't.
Slipping the semi-auto from her holster, she aimed the 9mm at my foot.
If you don't do what I say, I'm going to blow the big toe off your left foot. Now go back to the truck.
Is that a new sidearm?
She held it up for inspection, displaying it like a hand model would.
Glock 19, Gen 4 in midnight bronze.
She re-aimed it at my foot.
There is a pool at the office on who is going to be responsible for letting you do something stupid that causes you to hurt yourself, and that is not going to be on my watch. Got it?
I smiled at her in an attempt to save my toe. Who's leading the pool?
Lucian, but Sancho coming up fast on the inside.
That's why he follows me to the bathroom?
Uh-huh. Now quit stalling and go to the truck.
Yes, ma'am. I pushed off the tree and started back at a slow pace, wondering if I'd ever pick up the step I'd lost in Mexico. Maybe that was the way of things. Sometimes you paid a price and never get to make another deposit into your account, and eventually you are overdrawn. Lately, I'd been feeling like I was standing at the counter, the cashier always closing the window in my face. I wasn't paying much attention as I walked back toward the truck, but after a while I became aware of some movement to my right and turned my head in time to catch a glimpse of what I thought was the same border collie, but then thought again. When you see a wolf, you can't help feeling impressed. Maybe it's because we're so used to being around their more domesticated cousins. But this animal is something else. Aside from all the crap that you see on TV and in the movies or even in badly written books, they're not the slithering beasts just outside the glow of the campfire. There's only one word that comes to mind when I've ever seen one in the wild. Empathic. It's like they're reading your mind, because they have to know what you're thinking to simply survive. Back in the day, after that first nomadic hunter tossed a greasy leg of caribou to a curious pair of eyes, it set off a chain reaction of genetic mutation of over 800,000 years that bred a partner for mankind, and an entirely different branch of the canine tree was born. With the sacrifice of their freedom came security and their role as guard and companion. That was not the animal I was looking at now. He studied me, not moving, and, if not for a slight difference in color gradation against the darkness of the trees and the faded snow, I would have never seen him. What would he have done then? Eons ago there was a period when we would have been competing with each other as apex predators, but intellect and opposable thumbs gave us an evolutionary advantage, and now he lived in our world. Unconsciously, my hand landed on the holster of my stag-handled .45. Maybe I wasn't feeling so apex after all. His mouth was closed and his ears were down, but his eyes were wide and studied me. He was massive, even if he hadn't eaten a quarter of a sheep. There was no blood on his mouth or ruff, so if he had killed the sheep, who knew when he had? Coon said he was probably an adolescent, but that didn't jibe with what I was looking at right now. This fella must have weighed at least 175 pounds, and his muzzle was covered in gray, which contrasted with his broad, dark body. I thought about what I knew of wolf societies and figured he wasn't long for the world. A mating pair dominates most packs, and interlopers are usually killed outright. This poor old guy was on the prowl for a new life, likely pushed out of his old one in Yellowstone. Little did he know that the majority of other packs in the lower 48 were in the far reaches of northern Wisconsin and Minnesota, and I doubted he would make it that far. With Coon and Butter on his tail, it was unlikely he'd make it to South Fork. I watched as he shied away, giving the impression that he might bolt. I just stood there looking at him. Hell, it wasn't very often that you got such an opportunity. I didn't pull my sidearm. That wasn't my job. Hey! His ears perked, and I noticed he wore a transmitting collar. You need to get out of here. He held his post and watched me, but every time I began to make a movement toward him, he'd duck his head and act as if he were going to take off. So I just stood still. You haven't seen a shepherd around here, have you? I took another step, and this time he loped away, but I followed quickly enough so that he kept turning back to look at me now and again to see if I was still there. I'd only gone about 50 yards when the radio on my belt sounded. Static. Walt, where the hell are you? Pulling the two-way up, I whispered honestly, in the trees. Static.
What is that supposed to mean?
I keyed the mic again. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. You find the shepherd?
Static. No, but you need to get back to the truck now.
We need to find the herder.
Static. Yes, we do, but you need to get your ass back to the truck right now.
What? I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Static. Walt, do not try that shit with me. I invented it.
I turned off the radio and welcomed the high-altitude silence as the wind scoured the treetops like a powerful hand. The big wolf was still watching me expectantly, but I was left with little choice if I was serious about finding Miguel Hernandez.
You know, if you lure me out here and there are a bunch of your buddies waiting for us, I'm not going to be happy.
I pushed off again, but the pain in my side was really getting to me, so I stopped and leaned against a sizable trunk, resting with my hat in my hand and an ear pressed against the bark. I listened to the blood rushing in my head, regulated my breath, and waited for the pain to go away, but it didn't. Focusing on the ground, I became aware of something lying there, something out of place. Using the tree as support, I knelt and reached out to pick up a small piece of white cardboard with some blue printing on it. I held it a little closer and breathed a laugh.
Are you okay?
Raising my head, I glanced around but could see nothing. Not even the wolf.
Over here.
I leaned a little forward, looked around the tree that I was crouched behind, and could see a woman standing a little ways off. She had wide cheekbones, dark hair, and startling blue eyes, and wore snow boots, leggings, and a hunter green down jacket. She adjusted what looked to be some kind of Tibetan Dharma chakra hat, complete with tassels. Slowly standing, I stuffed the card into my shirt pocket.
Howdy.
She took a step closer, and I noticed that the border collie we'd been chasing was standing at her feet, looking at me and whining.
Are you okay?
Yet.
You don't look so good.
I swung a finger toward the dog. You need to keep a sharp eye on her. There's a wolf right around here, a very big one.
I know. 777M.
She gestured toward the dog. Gansu's been around wolves a lot and knows to stay clear. The dog came closer than the woman had and sat at my boots.
She likes you.
Who is 777M?
That wolf you're following.
His designation is 777M from the pack he got kicked off of in Yellowstone. I straightened. He's a long way from home. She shrugged. Old and gray. I'm guessing a newer, younger version has taken its place in the pack. It happens no matter what the species. She smiled, but I watched as the smile faded when she saw the semi-automatic at my hip.
You predator control?
Depends on the predator. I pulled my Carhartt back, revealing the solitary, partial consolation on my chest. Sheriff, Absaroka County. She relaxed a bit.
Where's that?
You're in it.
I thought I was in Bighorn County.
You would be about a quarter of a mile that way. I pointed west, then held out my hand. Walt Longmire.
Kasich Chichu.
She shook my hand with a surprising grip, and then, shrugging the canvas rucksack off her shoulder, pulled an Algene water bottle from it.
You still don't look so good, Sheriff.
I sighed a wheezing laugh. I've had a rough couple of months. Handing me the plastic bottle, she glanced around.
Drink up.
Unscrewing the attached top, I took a few swallows, and then wiped off my mouth with the back of a glove.
You mind telling me about your relationship with 777M?
Relationship?
She smiled and took the water back, taking a slug for herself.
Is that cop talk?
Pretty much. I tossed a thumb over my back. We've got a dead sheep. Her eyes stayed on me, the sky blue offset in her deeply tanned face.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Anyway, your buddy 777M is number one on the suspect list. She stiffened again.
What makes you think he did it?
The fact that he may be the only wolf in the Bighorn Mountains at this time.
How do you know a wolf did it?
I don't, but the brand inspector and the forest ranger back up in the park seem to be pretty certain of it and are collecting DNA as we speak.
If it was the wolf, he was desperate and starving.
I don't think the Stockman's Association is going to care. Anyway, you haven't answered my question, Miss Chichu. What are you doing up here running with the wolves?
She smiled again. It was a quick smile, but a toothsome one nonetheless.
Jungian analysis? Are you sure you're a Wyoming sheriff?
So the citizens tell me every 4 years. And you do what for a living?
She handed me the bottle again.
The Wolf Conservancy out of Missoula, Montana.
I smiled at her.
I know where Missoula is. Kind of a big town.
I'm a nurse at St. Patrick's Hospital and volunteer for the WC.
And 777M is one of your projects?
He is. And you're looking to kill him?
Not really. I'm actually looking for a shepherd.
She stepped in closer. Miguel?
You know him too?
I do.
You know where his camp is?
He was moving it 2 days ago.
And you saw him?
I had dinner with him. He was lonely and I'm female and can listen, kind of a rarity here in the mountains.
Well, his sheep, or more specifically, Abarani Extapari's sheep, are scattered all over the meadow up there, and there's nobody in sight.
She thought about it. I can show you where his camp was.
That'd be a start. I lumbered up and stood there, looking at her, taking in her features.
A Santa boy in a Blackfeet.
She smiled again, easier this time.
I'm always amazed when white people feel free to do that. I mean, what would you say if I walked up to you and said, Scots-Irish, English, with a little bit of Nordic, possibly Swedish or Norwegian?
I'd say those were nationalities and nowhere near as important as tribe.
In case you haven't noticed, Sheriff, it's all tribes.
Putting the pack under her shoulder, she turned to go, with the collie following at her heels.
Korea Siniboine, young dogs, Piapat First Nation, by the way. Idaho is where I grew up, but I lived in Colville Reservation for a while.
Washington.
I noticed she was slowing her pace to accommodate me.
You might know my friend, Henry Standing Bear.
Standing Bear? Northern Cheyenne. I've heard of him, I think. She stopped.